Hello, everyone. This is Luke Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Raj Goodman Anand, and he is the founder of Goodman Lantern. They're a team of native English content writing and software development services that help businesses sell better and grow faster. And as an engineer by profession, he has founded three startups, raised capital, and taken one venture from zero to acquisition. So he's someone who has an MBA studying startups, and he's also studied computer science. And his career also includes working with large and mid-sized organizations, launching both startups and new products within them. And the products he's built have made in excess of £55 million for the companies he's worked with. And Raj has won Business Week's Europe's Young Entrepreneur in 2007 and has been named one of Revolution Magazine's 50 Most Influential People in Digital in 2009. And he has spoken at various venues, including the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, the British Library, and several universities, including LSE. And Raj and his entrepreneurial ventures have had coverage in The Telegraph, Guardian, and Business Week and Observer. So we're very fortunate to have Raj here as a guest. He's very busy, so he was able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So we're very thankful. I guess we'll get into it. So I'd love to know, you know, more about your background and what first gravitated you towards what you do today.
Thank you, Luke. Firstly, thanks for the introduction and the warm welcome. It's good to be on the call today. As you read out earlier, I have been fortunate enough to meet a lot of good people and try different experiments. And this is my third venture, taking one venture from sort of initial zero to sort of acquisition. I think, I mean, as an engineer, I always like to understand and sort of really dive deeper into the mechanics of it. For me, what I love about sort of engineering was the ability to sort of be logical about it. But what fascinated me about business is that it's all about, you know, sort of numbers, strategy, and it's a good combination of that. So when I finished my university, I came out of university and I said to myself, founded a startup, got a job from a bank, but really I was very keen to kind of start my own business because the thrill of starting a business is just fascinating. I mean, that's what I really enjoy doing, and that's what I love actually getting involved in.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And obviously, I'm guessing you're more of a left brain person, or maybe a mix of left and right. But you've always been so much fascinated, I guess, by numbers and science and the logic of it all, I'm guessing. And I can see that you had that curiosity, you know, throughout your life. But you combined it with being an entrepreneur. I guess you weren't satisfied with being an employee, so you sort of, you know, you have these interests, and you took your interests and made it into having your own business and your own firm, which is amazing. Not a lot of people do that, but you had the courage to kind of, you know, jump into that, you know, entrepreneurial realm, so to speak. And I guess we're all thankful for it. And I'm curious now, you've been doing this for a while now. You've been with your firm for a number of years. How would you describe the current state of the business world when it comes to marketing and branding and also, I guess, software development and content writing? Where are things now, and what challenges has the pandemic posed?
Great question there, Luke. I believe we are in a very, very interesting time. I think all the science and data which you would have seen before the pandemic would have said that things are going to be very, very dark, gloomy in terms of finance and business. But actually, the funding by the government, both in the US and the UK and Europe and other countries, has actually made things a bit softer and a bit easier than What could have happened if there was a really harsh markets falling, for example, a bit like, in the earlier 1920s, for example, when there was a massive crash, for instance. I think a lot of the learnings by the economists actually helped us kind of find our way through some of this. So if you look at digital marketing overall, the impact for most companies has been very minimal. In fact, a lot of companies have actually kept growing, for instance, like our company. We actually kept growing through the pandemic. And I think there have been some casualties on the way. Obviously, the travel industry, went through is going through a very tough time, for instance. And so is, venues, for example, entertainment industry overall, I would say, is kind of struggling a little bit. But when it comes to online businesses, e-retail, they're actually seeing a fairly all right time with their businesses. And so yeah, I mean, there are sort of, two camps here, one which is digital and online, and the other one which is not. And the one which is not is currently having a bit of a challenging time.
I see what you mean. So for the online folks, they're sort of thriving, but for brick and mortar folks, they're having a challenging time. And I thank you for that answer. And I do agree, it's definitely an interesting time. And I guess government assistance has helped quite a bit, in this country, the U.S. and yours as well, in the U.K. And I'm curious. It's interesting. They say with crisis, oftentimes comes opportunity, and so many firms have been able to thrive when so many people thought it would be a dark, gloomy, era, so to speak. And so it's definitely interesting. And I definitely don't think things will go back to the way things were before, 100%. And obviously, I think this online thing is obviously just going to expand. I guess the trend was going that way, but it's sort of now kind of sped up with the crisis. I'm curious, where do you see things going in the future, and where do you see yourself in that future?
Well, I believe that things are not sort of over in many ways. So if you look at the analogies which the pandemic is you often compare it to wars, and most wars and their impacts lie for they're felt for the 3 to 4 years, and we've only seen 2 years of it. I mean, when subsidies go away from the government, for example, when there is no more cash to be given out and the furlough schemes are over, we might still see a potential challenge for some industries. I mean, there is a forecast of 6% growth, for example, in the UK market. And I'm sure there'll be something similar for the US market as well. But we've got to, be careful. I think, living on less oxygen at this point in time and being lean and, spending in the right way, focusing on the most important bits of the business, super important at the end of these times. And I would suggest, and it's what we're doing at the moment, is to be very careful about how we bring on people. And we're still hiring people, and we're very careful to bring in the right people, for example, and invest in the right things for growth in the future.
Wow, wonderful. And I agree. I guess that you mentioned the word lean, and we see a lot of companies cutting the fat, things that they didn't really need. Obviously with a lot of people working remotely, that saves a lot of time, saves a lot of money, and you don't have to the expense of maintaining an office building. So, and a lot of employees have been working longer hours when they work at home too. So I think that's sort of benefited companies, and we're going to see more of that even in the post-pandemic world than we had it before. So yeah, I definitely see that leanness being a part of the future. So I'm curious. Obviously, there are so many folks that do what you do. There are, so many B2B digital marketing folks. I'm curious, well, what makes you guys, you and your firm, stand out? What is your competitive advantage, and what differentiates you from everyone else?
Well, before I jump into differentiation, the
Yes.
company Goodman Lantern was formed 7 years back with the ambition to be remote from day one. So we actually were a
Right.
remote company before all this stuff started. In fact, the ambition which I had was to run the company from a boat. So, I
Wow.
mean, if you run it from a boat, middle of the ocean, then possibly, pandemic or pandemic doesn't matter because we were
Right.
prepared for this sort of way of working anyway. I think what's interesting is, a philosophy of focusing on our clients to grow on subscription models and retention models. So we're
Okay.
big, big believers of, our clients being focused on subscription models, retention models. And where we come in really is to use content, mainly writing information on social media, their websites, white papers, ebooks, and help them place the company as a thought leader through storytelling and through SEO. That's our sort of focus of the company, and we just do that really well. Secondly, it is having a very strong why. Our purpose is very clear. We are driven by not only making money, but also hiring people who are not represented in the market that well. So, for example, we focus on women, people of color, just to kind of represent them and give an opportunity to shine, because I think
Right.
that's super important to have a purpose that gives you more firepower and illusion
Yes.
to work harder and smarter.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And I think it's so important for women and people of color to be involved in more so in not just computer science, but all of, I guess, STEM, as they say. And so my hat is off to you for being a part of the solution and not a part of the problem per se when it comes to that when it comes to exclusion and whatnot. I'm curious, so you wanted it to be remote beforehand. So it's interesting that you're sort of clairvoyant. You saw how you were able to see how things were going. You had the vision, and even before the pandemic, you wanted to basically do the business as you imagine it in a boat, right? And so I guess in many ways that vision helped you with the crisis that came, and you were able to kind of weather the storm better than other firms who didn't have that foresight, so to speak. And you mentioned that you wanted to do it based on the subscription and retention model, which I think is excellent. When it comes to getting clients and keeping them on board and whatnot. So I can see why you've had the success you've had as an entrepreneur, as opposed to others who may have, who made that step to be an entrepreneur, but maybe perhaps weren't able to make it. There's a high failure rate with businesses and startups, and so obviously you're one of the sort of rare successes who started a firm and had it be successful, and that's amazing. So I'm curious, now you've helped a lot of businesses and firms and a lot of individuals and folks. Can you tell us the most moving or entertaining stories from your life or career?
Well, I'm going to tell you a sort of a very short story, but it's
Okay.
just like the sort of the actual perception, as it were. So at university, I studied computer science and AI. I was fascinated by video games, computer games. I wanted to kind of build my own, and actually, my research project, which I was actually I was studying to be a PhD to
Sure.
be a doctor in computer science and AI, and
Oh, wow.
I studied like AI, and I actually dropped out after the first year because it was just too long to spend to
Right.
live on basic income, for example. So I dropped
Right.
out after the first year. But
Right.
obviously AI is artificial intelligence. It's study of computer science and using the human mind to kind of mimic that. And
Right.
for the longest time, I studied AI, and my mother, in back in the day, AI wasn't popular. So when you asked my mother what your son studies, she would say
Right.
computer science and AI. And if you ask her what AI stood for, she would say, "Oh, AI is study of aliens and UFOs." Just shows, I mean, how sort of remote a concept of AI was in 25, 26, so 2005, 2006. And today, everybody obviously knows about it and, you know, what the applications are of AI. But back in the day, you know, it was just something that was so remote, not heard of. And my mom didn't know what AI was. But today, you ask somebody, they would tell you what AI is in a heartbeat.
And that's amazing. And I think also working with aliens could still be fun, though. I mean, if they were possible. But
Absolutely. I think that'll be my next PhD, I think.
it's interesting how you sort of rode that wave, that trend, you know, sort of had that foresight. You know, you were working on AI before most people even you were looking into it before most people even knew what it was. Now everyone knows what AI is. It's like robots. I think that's what pops up in people's minds is robots when AI, and that's closer to the truth than aliens, of course. And so it's interesting. So thank you so much for sharing that. And AI, I think, is a field that's exploding and growing by leaps and bounds. I'm curious now, as an entrepreneur, they say that one of the ways to achieve success is to get to a level where you're relying mostly or solely on referrals. And obviously, that's difficult in the beginning, but networking is a big part of it. And you know, so many entrepreneurs have to go out there and network. Even people who aren't entrepreneurs, like people when you're job hunting, they say it's great to network. Even if you already have a job, you can network to find a better job or to know what's available, because no job you have is secure, so you still want to look around. I'm curious, what advice would you give to people when it comes to networking and getting referrals?
Well, what I'll say about networking and referrals is that we live in a world where people want to know what they can get from others. Not always true, but in general, it's kind of the sensation you get from people. They want to know what they can get off you. And I think if we were focused more on giving and believing in the power of just giving generously, then actually what we can get back from that is incredibly powerful. You will get something back from it. It might take some time. It might not be direct, might be indirect, for example, but it's very powerful. And I think in networking events, networking on LinkedIn, whatever it is that you do networking, instead of asking for stuff, first give. I believe in this thing called e-karma, like karma for business. And I think it's all about investing in people, giving things away, because that leads to a fantastic opportunity at the end of the road. We just don't know what that might be. It could be in a form we can't even imagine. It could be, you know, 20 years down the line. But, you know, investing in that is super important. I really think we all should be looking into that more and more so.
And thank you so much for that. I absolutely agree. There's always a book I recommend to people, The Go Giver by Bob Berg, excellent book, who talks about the same principle that you mentioned of e-karma, which I love so much, and the idea of giving without expecting anything in return right away. The most successful people, I believe, follow this principle. And oftentimes when you give, you get something back indirectly. And it does take time, so it does take patience. And you know, it just it, and but you just have to just give and not worry about getting it. The getting will take care of itself. And I guess when people do that, they engage in what's called the law of reciprocity. You know, obviously, when you give, people naturally want to give back to you. And so it's so important for folks to take advantage of this principle. There's so many people who network, you know, they have this attitude of selling, but they need to switch that to giving, and I think that's so critical. So thank you so much for that. So it's interesting. Society has a lot of, unfortunately, social ills in the U.S. and the U.K. and elsewhere. There's a lot of, as you mentioned before, or alluded to before, you know, there's a lot of, you know, racism, sexism, ageism, whatnot. I'm curious, have you face any racism or discrimination on your journey?
Well, I would say not directly, but sort of indirectly, I think there has been things which have happened where I felt that, you know, I wasn't treated fairly, for example. But it's, I think in my life, I've learned to kind of sort of not look at those negative elements. I've focused on the positive elements, which give me energy, for example. And instead of me complaining about the world, I want to create, make an impact, make a change where I can help sort of make a difference. And so instead of making myself angry and worked up, I actually want to find a way to help people who have gone through this, for instance. And hence our company's mission really is to help people who would otherwise struggle to find a job because of the color or how they look, how they speak, for example. I think that's the way I like to combat this, for example, and make this negativity to your positive energy for myself and my colleagues.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And obviously, there's been a lot of progress on this front. Obviously, there's still a long way to go. There's still, I guess, you know, we always hear stories about sexism in the computer IT world and whatnot and STEM world, but there's lots of progress that's been made. We in the U.S., we have our first female vice president, a woman of color, which is amazing. And we have just recently, there was a, I believe, a government building that was just named after an African-American woman who was a mathematician, scientist, who worked within NASA, I believe, a while ago. And so it's amazing. And so obviously there's still a long way to go, but lots of progress has been made. And you said you haven't experienced anything directly, which is progress in of itself, but obviously there may have been things indirectly. I think as time goes on, things will just get better and better as more and more people of color and women enter these fields where in the past they may have been excluded. And so it's amazing. So I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who wants to enter engineering and the IT world and the digital marketing world, of course, and particularly women or people of color, but just in general, what advice would you give to them?
Well, I would say is to focus on the education. I think a lot of times people think that universities is where you learn stuff, but unfortunately, what you require in business, it doesn't come from universities or schools. It comes from it comes from self-learning. It comes from, you know, being active and you know, getting out there to learn stuff from, you know, books, online YouTube videos, seminars, conferences, e-webinars, Zoom calls. That's where you learn stuff from. And I think investing some cash or money off your income, your salary, towards education, towards learning the actual trends, for example, you know, learning stuff which is beyond your subject matter, for example, is super helpful. I mean, I love reading about history. I love reading about Roman Empire, for example. I love reading about Japanese history because that gives me the ability to think about, you know, the history, that, you know, the history to be itself. So it's about looking and reading beyond just your subject matter and actually having a viewpoint, because people like people who have a view on this world, on subject matters, on topic, on niches. So this is all, I think personally, education is really important. The more you educate yourself, the more you surround with yourself with people, because we are only, you know, as good as the people we hang out with. I think if we surround ourselves with millionaires, we become millionaires ourselves. So invest in yourself and hang out with people who have been successful in whatever you want to be part of as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And I totally agree. It's good to hang out with successful people who are at the level you want to be at or attain to be at. And, you know, I think Tony Robbins says that it's important to have great mentors and to hang around successful people, because success leaves clues and you can learn from those people and understand the paths that they took, because they sort of kind of blaze that trail for you. They can help speed up your learning curve, and you don't have to make the same mistakes they did and whatnot. And I think it's so important for people to study history, to understand history. So history, the bad parts of history don't repeat themselves. And for example, I love to read autobiographies or biographies in general, because learning about the lives of other people can inspire, I think, an individual. And so I totally agree with you there. And, you know, Albert Einstein once said that learning, you know, never stops. You're always going to be learning. You always have to have the mindset of a student. And so I totally agree. That's so important. Learning doesn't stop in school, because obviously things change, and particularly in the technology world, things change almost every minute. So since things are constantly changing, you always have to be constantly learning. And money spent on education, of course, I believe is also a good investment. And so, yes, thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to bring on or hire an IT professional like yourself, who's skilled in marketing or digital marketing, or it could be anything else? Now, obviously, they can come to you, of course. But what advice would you give to an individual or firm that's looking for the right IT professional?
Well, when I look to hire somebody or to work with somebody, my first question now is to look at their core values and if they match with mine. You know, there's a time when I used to hire people based on their skills and their abilities. And as you mentioned earlier, there are so many companies doing digital marketing today. But not all of them will have the same values or value system as you do as an individual. You know, try to understand what do they stand for and what do you stand for. And the more that matches, the longer the journey is going to go. Because skills can be learned online. You can go and, you know, find a consultant. You can learn from them, for example. But values are embedded into you as an individual, as a company, from the very get-go. And you need to align and work with people who are the same value set as yourself. So I would say first thing is to look at the value system or the person of the company, see that that's aligned, see if what you believe in is in line with what they believe in, and then look at the skill sets you require for the business you're looking to them to do for you.
Right. Definitely. And that's so amazing. Thank you for that. I do too believe that it's so important, because values are something that is almost in a person. It's hard to change. But skills, you can always teach someone to improve their skills. But the values is something that is, I guess, innate within an individual. So I think that's such important advice when it comes for anyone who's looking to hire someone or work with anyone. Even for looking for a friend, I would say as well, you know, what are the core values? Do they match your core values? Thank you so much for that. That is just wonderful advice. And I'm curious, what other important life lessons do you have for folks that you wish to share that you've learned yourself or that you've learned from others, in addition to what you've already told us?
I think often, like in the early days of my career, I should often think that it's about, you know, what we know as individuals. It's about, you know, if I go and do a PhD or an MBA, that actually that's what people will come to me for advice. But actually what I realized was that it's not about what you know, but actually how you make people feel. I think if we focus on that feeling of the customer, the partner, the employee, the employer, that is far more important than what you know as a person, because people like to buy from people they love and admire. And I think that feeling is really important. So, you know, I today what I believe is about making people feel good. Even if things are not working out for them, is to make sure that they feel good about things, because that's super important for us to be able to progress and win and get a win scenario for everybody.
Right. Thank you so much for that. And I've read in multiple places that people only do business with folks that they know, like, and trust. So there is something to that. People have to like you, and it's So it's so important to make people feel good, towards you and towards, I suppose, whatever you're trying to maybe perhaps sell them on. And so thank you so much for that. I think that's very critical advice. And for some people, this may be common sense, but you'd be surprised how much, how much uncommon common sense is when you go out and you meet folks in society. So definitely. And it's interesting how when you speak with successful people and you go to them for advice, a lot of times what they say is very, very similar. So I think, the path and the methods people should take are out there, and people should definitely, find out what they are and follow them. I guess it's simple, but maybe not easy for many people, unfortunately. I'm curious, what book recommendations would you give to folks, your top book recommendations? I know you study history a lot and you read quite a bit. I'm curious what books have helped you the most on your journey.
Well, I mean, a number of books actually. The book which I often recommend nowadays is I mean, this has been a favorite for many years now, is Tim Ferriss's 4 Hours Work Week, which is basically about how do you build a company or a lifestyle where you work the right amount, but actually enjoy life as well and delegate. So I think that's a really important part of running a business, to delegate stuff. So it talks about delegation, automation, and that's an interesting thing. Also, a book by a guy called John Warlow. His book is called Built to Sell, and it's about how do you build a company which is designed to sell. If you don't want to sell the company, that's still fine, but it tells you how to design systems which runs without you, the founder of the company. And I think that's pretty powerful. So these two books, I've got many other recommendations, but these two books are my one of my favorites.
And thank you so much for that. And I guess it goes back to that idea that time is our most valuable commodity and our most valuable asset, more valuable than money, time, and I like Tim Ferriss as well. I love his stuff. And I'm going to check out the other book as well that you mentioned. It's so important for, I think, entrepreneurs to delegate as well as there's a book I like called by Michael E. Gerber. You may have heard of it, called The E-Myth, which talks about this mindset of time and making the best use of it. And so I think there is something to it because so many entrepreneurs are so busy and so drowning in their business, and I don't think that's what they originally intended. So I thank you so much for those book recommendations. I'm curious, are you ever yourself going to write a book about your life or about business ideas or tips?
Well, I actually wrote a book in the past, and I actually do a lot of courses and stuff for students. But I think writing a book on myself at the moment, I have no plans to do so. I'm thinking about sort of doing something which is more for education or for people coming into the industry in the future. But yeah, for the time being, I've written a book for business education. It's about recruitment using social media, for example. That's what that book is about. I've done some Udemy courses, which I've offered for free to students. But at this point in time, I don't have any other plans to kind of start a podcast or write any of the book for the time being.
Okay, great. That was going to be my next question, if you want to do a podcast. But you do a lot of stuff on education already, and you've already written a book, which is amazing. So people, if they want to learn from you, they can do that through the Udemy courses, or they can do that through YouTube. I'm guessing elsewhere. So I think that's amazing that you're helping to teach folks when it comes to, I believe, social media and other things. So that's great. So people really ought to check those out. Now, if you ever do write a book, I would definitely be the first person to buy it. So you have at least one customer. Just want you to know. And
Thank
I'm
you,
definitely
Luke.
going to look
Appreciate it.
in. You got it. And I'm going to definitely check out the Udemy courses as well. So I'm curious now. Thank you so much for coming on as a guest, and I think this interview has definitely blown away my expectations. I'm curious, can you go ahead and describe all the ways people can get in touch with you if they want to, or if they know someone who wants to utilize your services, or if they want to put someone like you, a center of influence, in their network?
Of course, yeah. So, by all means, find me on LinkedIn. I'm Raj Goodman Anand. Add me and drop me a message. I'd love to hear from people. So, by all means, drop me a message or email. Also, you can find us on by looking for Googling Goodman Lantern. That's Goodman Lantern. And hopefully that'll be the first link on Google. And yeah, drop us a line if you want to talk to us, for example. But yeah, always keen to help, always keen to contribute. And as I mentioned before, I'm planning to do some more education stuff for free. So when it's out and out, I'll certainly let you and network know.
Wonderful. That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. And I'm also going to take the information you just provided us. It'll also be listed in the episode description box so people can see it and read it there. That people can contact you or connect with you through LinkedIn, or they can email you or Google Goodman Lantern, either one of those three things. Thank you so much for that. And I just wanted to say that this has been an excellent interview. You shared tremendous wisdom with us. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on as a guest. And I wanted to thank the folks in the audience for listening. I'm sure they've learned quite a lot from you, and many would love to connect with you. I wanted to go ahead and give you the last word or the final send-off. Is there anything else you just wanted to mention real quick?
Well, what I want to say was that, I think life is too short to think about ourselves. I think we should all look at ways we can help contribute and leave a legacy behind us. So let us think about not only ourselves, but the humanity, the network, the ecosystem around us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Raj. And everyone, have a wonderful day. And I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Take care and bye-bye. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcast app. And if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that'd be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. Thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us, so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise. That'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.